I'd like to have you have your Bible open to the book of 3 John. 3 John is that little book just before Jude, just before Revelation. So if you go to Revelation and you turn back one book, that's Jude. Turn back one more, that's 3 John. It's one page. It's one page, and you should be able to find it there. 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, it says, I wish above all things, the King James Version puts it that way, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul is prospering. That's the verse we're going to look at today. See this fellow up here on the screen, the older guy that's running? His name is Orville Rogers. And you need to go onto YouTube if you're so inclined to do things like that and check out this guy. I was doing some research and I came across this fellow. He is over 90 years old in that picture right there. And he is a sprinter in the Senior Olympics. And he currently holds the world record for the 100-yard dash as a senior over 90 years old. And I put this on my Facebook page this last week, and I said, this kind of redefines old, doesn't it? You know, 90-some years old out there. He didn't start running until he was in his 50s. And in his interview, he said, it's never too late. And when they were asking him about running and what it meant to him, he said, this changed my whole outlook. He said, getting active and getting in shape and having these goals to reach for in my life at this point in my life, he said, it's changed my life. There's in this verse, in 3 John verse 2, there is a balance that is referred to there in that verse. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may, what's the next word, prosper, or some Bibles say be successful. I wish above all things that you may prosper. And then it says, and be in what? In health, just as your soul is prospering. So here we find in the scripture, all through the Bible, in fact, this idea that mental, physical, and spiritual interact with each other in our pursuit of good things in this world. And remember, we've been talking in January this year, January 2020, we're talking about practical steps that we can take to be more successful, to accomplish more, to be healthier, spiritual goals, other goals in our life. And here is one, being more healthy, physically healthy. Beloved, I desire more than anything, my Bible says, that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. So on the right, you can see this, a modern symbol, a modern metaphor for the mental, physical, and spiritual, striving to have that balance as those three things interact one with the other. And I remember so clearly this young woman. She was about 21, 22 at the time, and she began to have severe depression. Nobody could figure out why. She had been very healthy, but then all of a sudden she started having less energy. She started having less ability physically and mentally. And she was finally, they took her to the doctor, and after doing a whole bunch of tests, various individuals involved, they determined that she was having depression. And then they tried to figure out why was she having depression, and they could never seem to figure out why she was having depression. Her diet was good. She had been active. The only thing they could come up with was that somehow, DNA-wise, some little button got pushed somewhere in there, and she began to have this clinical depression because of an imbalance in chemistry somehow, some way. But nobody could really put their finger on the exact reason why. So then her mother and her grandmother brings her to the elders of the church that I was pastoring at the time, and they said, would you please pray for her and anoint her and ask God to help us figure this out, and if God would be willing to heal her. Well, we did. We prayed for her and anointed her. And God did not heal her right on the spot, or even the next day or the next week. But what God did was he began to bring things into her life. And the real thing that took place finally in her life was she was, with the help of friends, she started getting physically active, very physically active. They practically picked her up and took her to places where coaches and facilities would help her get very physically active. And there was a lot of prayer, but there was a lot of human effort. And by her getting more, the more physically active she got, the less she was depressed. And the thing that really tipped the scale for her and got her out of that depression was this increase in physical activity. Now, the ironic thing, of course, is that when a person is depressed, they don't want to be physically active. See, that's the ironic thing. But her friends and prayer and the Holy Spirit, somehow all of that combined together, and her friends would not let her go. They said, no, you're coming with us to the gym. You're gonna work out with the rest of us, whether you like it or not. And, you know, they literally got her there. And once she would get into the activity, that, you know, she kind of, you know, was okay with it. But it took a lot of effort on the part of people to get her to be physically active. But when she did, it tipped the scale. See, here's that balance: the mental, the physical, the spiritual, and they all came together to help that young lady. Now, an interesting thing happened after the physical activity, and then after the depression went away because of the physical activity, then she came to me and she said, because she had never been baptized, then she came to me and she said, I would like to be baptized. So then the physical was the first, then the mental got healthy, and then she wanted to be baptized. Her relationship with God took off after she got physically healthy and after her mental depression went away. Isn't that interesting? Can you say amen to that? That's a great success story that I witnessed myself in the life of that particular young lady. Now, someone here today, you may be struggling with mild depression or something like that. There are 8 laws of health that we're going to review real quick in a little bit. I've done this twice before with you guys, I know, but I like to bring it up because it's so powerful. But if you begin to put some of these things into action in your own heart and mind and life, wonderful things can happen with God's blessing and God's help in your life. So this first part, let's look at that verse again. 3 John verse 2, beloved, it says, beloved. Well, when I read that verse and I thought about sharing this with you today, the thing that came to my mind was I remembered this older gentleman. I was not personally involved in this story. It came to me later because he had relatives who were members of my church, and they told me this story. But what happened was this older guy, he had lost his wife. She had passed away. They didn't have children. He didn't have siblings because he was now quite at the older time in his life, and his family they're all gone. And he really had nobody. He's alone. He had neighbors, you know, and he had acquaintances. But there was nobody in his life who really made him feel loved. He didn't have anyone who was making him feel love, having love in his life. And as he was aging, you know, things began to happen, and he eventually got a diagnosis of having cancer. And he thought, well, you know, when the doctor came in and told him what the results of the tests were, and the nurse apparently had to kind of apologize for the doctor because the doctor's bedside manner wasn't particularly that great. And so he comes in and he shares, you know, he was respectful, but it was kind of cold the way it came across. You know, you got cancer, better get your affairs in order. It's terminal, you know, that's it. And he leaves, the doctor leaves. So this guy is sitting there in the examination room where the doctor has come in and kind of laid this out to him. And the nurse is standing there, and she's in shock because of how the doctor sort of kind of coldly laid it out. And, you know, and she goes over and she sits on the little bed type thing there that's in an examination room right beside the fella. And she puts his arm around him. He's old enough to be her grandpa, you know. She puts her arm around him, and she just hugs him tight. And at first he kind of pulls away, but she hugged him tighter, and she said, I just want you to know that somebody cares about you. She said, I care about you, and I'm sorry that this has happened to you. And she just hugged him tight and wouldn't let him go, and eventually he just accepted it. And then he said, And the reason we know this is because he told his relatives in my church, long distance away from one another, he told them that he hadn't felt loved like that in so many years, he couldn't remember when. And even though he did pass away, he still felt this love. He knew that there was at least one person in the world who cared about him. And she was able to express that to him. And then this also, I think I already told you one time about this little girl, 7 years old, who used to come out. And I try really hard to tell the kids as faithfully as I can, as if they stop long enough after church and if they actually don't, you know, just go right out real fast, like the kids do sometimes. I did that when I went to church, the few times I went to church. When church was out, it was like, shoo, I'm out. And that the kids often do that. But if the kids stop long enough for me to actually shake their hand, I say, Jesus loves you. So this little 7-year-old girl, she was coming out, and said, I was telling her, Jesus loves you. She wasn't a member of my church. She only attended maybe, I don't know, 6 or 8 times a year. But she had leukemia, and I didn't know she had leukemia. And when she was getting her treatments, they were very painful, I guess, in her case, is what I was told. And a similar story, the nurse put her arm around her one time when she was crying because the treatment was so painful. And she said, the nurse said to her, Jesus loves you. And the little girl said, yes, I know. And she says, how do you know? She says, because Pastor Kevin tells me every time I go to his church. You know, people need to know. I have seen in people's lives from time to time, I have seen love bring health into a person's life. Have you seen that? I have seen that happen. People, there's so many lonely people who do not feel love. And when someone finally is able to make them feel that love, I have seen health and vitality come back into that person's life. Are you guys familiar with, I think his name is Pavlov's dog. Did I get that right? The dogs, the guy, you guys took psychology, right? And how the dogs that were loved, you know, they prospered. And the dogs that were not loved, they withered away. We need love. And so hearing this verse about health, the very first thing God says to us is what? Come on, are you looking at your Bible? What does it say? The very first word there, what does God say? Beloved, right? Beloved, I wish above all things that you may be in health. Paul was asking the question in your little comment up here, you know, you were asking, do you guys know about love and drama? He asked the question, and I sat down there and I said, yes, Paul, every parent knows about love and drama. All you have to do is be a parent, and you know about love and drama. Lots of drama, and you love anyway, so that's just the way it goes. But God looks at us, and he says, beloved, I wish above all things, beloved. God wants to communicate to us, and John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his son. I remember that statement in Desire of Ages. I love that statement in Desire of Ages. It says that you are more valuable to God than worlds in the universe. You have more value to God than entire worlds. And I want you to think about this. Is there anyone or anything in the entire universe or universes, depending on what physicist or what astronomer you talk to, is there anything that would be more valuable to God than his son Jesus? Can you think of anything? I can't. I can't think of anything that would be more valuable to God than his son Jesus. And what did God say? For God so loved the world that he what? For you and for me. So what kind of value does that place on you? If the most important thing to God, the most valued thing to God is his son, and he gave his son for you, how valuable are you to God? It's beyond our ability to describe. This is why John said, behold the love of God. Because he couldn't express it. He couldn't describe it. Behold the love of God, that we should be called the children of God. It boggles my mind to think that God the Father would give His Son, whom He values more than anything else in the entire universe, that He gave Him for you and for me. And He says, when He says beloved, He means it. Because the cross, the cross shows us. I had a guy one time many years ago. He was complaining about his life. Listen, from a human point of view, he had every right to complain about his life. He was born with birth defects. He'd had like 40 surgeries by the time he was 16 years old. He witnessed his little brother falling off a cliff and died, and his mother died young, and on and on. I mean, he had one thing after another all through his growing up years, and he was really angry at God. And so he was talking to me because by the grace of God, by the miracle of God, with all this stuff that had happened in his life, he's now starting to talk about wanting to follow God in spite of all this stuff that's been going on. And so that's a miracle. And so he's talking to me about it, and he's going through this list, this litany of stuff that had happened in his life, and he punctuates it every once in a while with saying, how could God do that? How could God do that? There's no answer. You can't make sense out of those kind of things to people when they tell you those things, you know, these horrible things that happen to people. You don't have enough information to be able to say, this is why that happened to you. You can't. There's no answer. But I finally, after he was finished with his list, and again, he looked at me and he said, Pastor, I want to be able to trust God, but all these things have happened. How can I trust God? And I said, look at the cross. He said, what do you mean? I said, consider the cross. I said, I can't explain all of these things that have happened to you, but what I can explain is that when you look at the cross, you see how much God loves you. And I said, if you accept Jesus as your Savior and you are saved forever and you live forever, when you live forever in heaven, forever and ever, even though you don't have the answers right now, you will then, because God will explain all of that to you Himself. But until that time, you can look at the cross and you can see how valuable you are to Him. For God so loved you so much that He gave His only Son. If all the evidence I had in my life about God and His love was the cross, that should be sufficient, because He poured out His all in the cross. He gave His Son, and He died a cruel death so that I might be saved. But most of us, almost all of us, have evidence beyond the cross. But in heaven, when we're all around the throne, when we see what Jesus did for us and we see the nail prints in His hands and in His feet and we realize what He went through for us, the Bible says just the sight of Him causes us to cast our crowns at His feet and say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and wisdom and power and strength forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah, Paul said, right? Isn't that right, Paul? Forever and ever we will cast our crowns at the feet of the One who loved us so much that He gave everything He had for us. And so He says, beloved. If you want to succeed this year beyond what you've done in the past, then in your mind, by faith, accept the fact that you are beloved. People who are loved and cared for achieve higher and greater and longer than people who do not have that confidence. That's a fact that you can look up on any internet search engine. People who know, people who are believed in, people who know that they are loved, people who know that they are validated, people who know that somebody cares for them, achieve better and longer than people who do not have that confidence. If you really want 2020 to be a different year, then by faith, accept what God says about you, that you are more valuable to Him than even His own Son, because He gave His Son for you that you might have eternal life. Can you say amen to that? The Bible teaches us that His mercy has no limit. His kindness is eternal. So in this book I recommend to you every now and then, because it's just an amazing book, Gray Matter by my friend David Levy. In that book, he tells the story of the Marine Sergeant. How many of you have read the book and remember the story of the Marine Sergeant? Okay, a few of you. So this Marine Sergeant comes to him because he's having neurological symptoms, and they're pretty serious, and he doesn't know what to do. So he finally goes see a doctor. The doctor recommends him to the specialist, which turned out to be the neurosurgeon David Levy. So he goes to see David, and David is talking to the man, and David's normal procedure is he sits down with somebody and he takes them through like an hour-long session just to get to know them, find out about their life, ask them lots of questions, find out what's going on, how do they live, what do they do. He's trying to figure out what's going on exactly before he gets into all the other tests. And so he sat down with this guy, and it became, David himself told me, that it became really clear to him very quickly that this man, his main problem was not physical, it was mental and spiritual. His main problem was not physical, it was mental and spiritual. And the main root of those two things was his relationship with his mother who had passed away. So this tough Marine Sergeant with all these neurological issues, David comes to him and he says, I really believe before we even consider surgery or any other procedure that we need to deal with a few emotional issues. And the sergeant said, okay, what do we do? And he brought up the subject of his mother. David told me that as soon as he brought up the subject of his mother, the Marine got really angry. Just the thought of his mother got him irate. And he said, I don't want to talk about that. He said, I know you don't want to talk about it. He said, but you've come to me for help. And before I do anything in the lab or before I do anything in the surgery, we need to talk about this issue of your mother. And so the Marine finally, with a lot of anger, consented, and they began to delve into it. And David told me that with lots of prayer ascending from him toward heaven, he said he finally was able to help the Marine understand that the lack of forgiveness on his part for his mother was the main root of the problem he'd been having, and that somehow he needed to find a way to forgive his mother. And he sat there. He said, he told me he sat there brooding for the longest time. And he said, I just sat there quietly praying, waiting. And finally, the Marine said, what do I do? I don't know how to forgive what that woman did to me. He didn't even want to call her his mother. He said, I don't know how to forgive what that woman did to me. And David said, well, forgiveness is a process. It's not a destination, he said, but we can begin that journey here today. And so he, with help, the Marine finally was able to say the words very quietly, I choose to forgive my mother. And as soon as he said those words, David told me that the guy began to weep when he said, I choose to forgive my mother. And he kept helping the gentleman. And you know what? The guy never needed medication and he never needed a procedure because his neurological symptoms were because of his angry heart having to do with his mother. There is this balance. The Bible talks about this balance between the mental, the spiritual, and the physical. And that when we bring these things into balance in God, we become healthy and we become more successful. So he says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. Jeremiah 29 says, no matter what your situation is here, as you sit here this morning, no matter what your situation is, Jeremiah 29 says, God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, to give you a future and a hope, to give you something to cling to. He says, I have good plans for you, for your future. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come, say it with me, I have come that they may have life and that they might have it more, what? Abundantly. God's plan, God's will for you is to give you abundance and to have you have hope and a future. He doesn't want you to be sick and he doesn't want you to be hopeless and he doesn't want you to be without prospering in your life. In Exodus 15, 26, he says, if you do what I tell you, you're going to have less disease. And in Deuteronomy 7, verse 15, he says, if you do have sickness, I want to take it away. So here's any of you that struggle with sicknesses, and most of us have sicknesses from time to time, but sometimes those sicknesses can become serious. If any of you have any of those kind of things going on in your life right now, here's something I want you to firmly walk away with today. God's plan A always is to heal you. Can you hear me on that? There is no question. Why? Because you're beloved. He's your father, and he loves you. I have 3 kids, and I have 6 grandkids. If they get sick, what's my plan A? I want them to be what? Healed. I want them to be healthy. Any good father, plan A is, I want you to be well. Can you say amen? God's plan A is to heal you. If your spiritual well-being is in danger, if your eternal life is in question, and only God with his foreknowledge can know these things. But if your spiritual life is in danger, if your eternal life is in danger, God's plan B, if you're sick, is to save you. But he always wants to heal you. Always he wants to heal you. But if your eternal life is in danger and you need to go through this process to get some things straightened out in your life, his plan B is to save you. Amen? Either way, it's a good thing. Plan A is to heal you. Plan B is to save you. He wants you to be well, but sometimes our pursuit of wellness gets in the way of salvation. And because everything is hinged on this foundation of spiritual health and eternal life, because everything depends on that, other things are secondary to that. So sometimes he allows sickness. Now, how do we know that from the Bible? Well, 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul. He had some kind of an illness that we still don't know what it was. People guess that it was his eyesight and different things like that, but we really don't know because it doesn't say. But 3 times Paul sought the Lord. Now, when Paul says he sought the Lord, it wasn't just, Lord, heal me, and then he walked on his way. To seek the Lord, if you're the Apostle Paul, is to go through this process. You're going to spend hours of time humbling yourself and praying and seeking God's face and searching your heart and repenting and doing whatever it takes to know that you're right with God that moment. So when Paul says, I sought the Lord, he's talking about a process he went through 3 separate times to receive God's blessing. He says, 3 times I did this. And all 3 times God said, no, I'm not going to heal you. My grace is sufficient for you. And Paul said the Lord told him that the reason he wasn't going to heal Paul was because if he did heal him and he didn't have any illnesses or impediments in his life, he would be so proud and lifted up that he would lose his way and be lost forever. Paul, it's right there in 2 Corinthians 12. And listen, when you read the writings of Paul, you get the impression that if he didn't have something to keep him humble, that guy would be spiraling out of the universe. And so the Lord kept him humble with that sickness. He kept him in a savable situation, kept him on his knees, kept him seeking God because of the illness that came upon him. And I've had more than one person tell me when I have been sad about their illness, whatever it was, when I have been just worried about them, in a generic term, about them and their future, I've had more than one person say, Pastor, God let me have this so that I would repent and so that I would make sure of my salvation. We're hard-headed. This human race, we're hard-headed. We often don't get right with God until something gets wrong with our body or until something bad happens. Then we get right with God. It's weird how we are that way. Why do we wait till something bad happens before we get straight with God? But God loves you so much. Be loved, he says. I wish above all things that you may be in health and prosper and your soul prosper. And so therefore, sometimes he allows bad things to happen. Right here in this church, we've had a gentleman who's attended from time to time whose name is Mike. Some of you might know him. And his fiance is Jenny. Some of you have possibly met them. Anybody here remember Mike and Jenny? Can I see anybody's hands? See, they didn't attend that much. They've attended maybe 3 or 4 times a year for the last 2 or 3 years. Anybody happen to get acquainted with Mike and Jenny? A few months ago, Pastor Jordan and I went to the hospital because Mike had a severe stroke. Very severe stroke. It was so bad that they thought he was going to die. And we went and prayed for him. At that point, when Jordan and I, Pastor Jordan and I, went to pray, the outcome was uncertain at that point. No, they couldn't tell. It was too soon in the stroke process to know. So we went, we prayed, we anointed him with oil. As is typically the case for me, I didn't hear anything, I didn't see anything, I didn't feel anything. But we trusted him into God's care, and we walked out. Well, what I didn't know till later was that it was so bad that the family was already talking about pulling the plug, because it didn't look like it was much hope. The doctors had done some procedures, and things just didn't look good. And so they were telling the family, we don't know, it could go either way. And it looked like it's possible that they might have to make that tough decision. I've been with two other families when they had to make that kind of a decision. And boy, is that ever a hard, hard thing to do. So we went in and we prayed and we anointed him. Within 24 hours, his symptoms started to reverse. Did you hear that? Within 24 hours, by 48 hours, the doctor was saying he's going to be okay. By the time the week was over, he was moving all of his limbs. All of you who know about strokes know what I'm talking about. He was moving all of his limbs. His speech was coming out clear. His thoughts were coming out clear. And Mike is going to be okay. It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. My brother died from a stroke. I've seen other people pass away from strokes. I know how hard a stroke... My brother-in-law had a stroke 8 years ago that he has never recovered from. So I know how tough these things can be. And to see this guy miraculously reverse in those stroke symptoms, that's a miracle. And that happened right here in this church just a couple months ago. So God is with us. He is hearing our prayers. He is helping us. Our part is to help him by making some decisions in our life. Get physically active. Get physically healthy. Start putting these 8 laws of health into your life. Sunshine. Ha, that's a tough one. Sunshine. Fresh air. Rest. Nutrition. Good nutrition. Eating good stuff. Go to the potluck after church. There's good stuff there. Trust in God. Exercise. Plenty of water. And stay away from bad stuff. All right? Those are the things. The 8 laws of health that you find in the Bible. Get more sunshine. Even in the cloudy day, you can still get lots of sunshine, so to speak. It doesn't feel like it, but you are. Fresh air, rest, nutrition, trusting in God. Get active as much as you can. Water and temperance. These 8 doctors, as some people like to call them, are very effective, and they help us to achieve a more healthy physical state in our world as we live day by day. Make sure that you're right with God. So the verse ends with, as your soul prospers. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul. Some Bibles say spirit. The idea is this relationship with God. So get healthy this year. Spend the money. See the people. Do what you need to do to be better in health this year than you were last year. Take the time to take care of your mind. Stay away from negative stuff. Put yourself around positive stuff. Don't listen to negative things, negative people. Don't dwell on ugly things. Movies, books, games, whatever it is. Whatever it is, it needs to be positive for you. There's always going to be people who criticize your choices. But be honest with yourself. Focus on things that are positive for you, that help you. Your body is God's temple. He wants to live in you. Revelation 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will, what's he say? Come in. He wants to dwell in you. He wants to live in you. Make the effort to have your mind and your body be healthier this year than you were last year. Reprioritize things. Now, I put this picture in Luke 5 here for this reason. Here are these stretcher bearers. I want you to think about this. This is really cool. I got this from a friend of mine this week, and I said, I'm going to use that this week in my sermon because it's perfect. And I thought he was inspired when he was talking about this. He said, I want to tell you what I found out about the stretcher bearers. I said, what? He said, remember that story in Luke chapter 5 about the guy that was a paralytic and he couldn't get to Jesus because he was a paralytic and they had to carry him on a stretcher and they dropped him down? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He says, I want to tell you about the stretcher bearers, what I learned about the stretcher bearers from Luke chapter 5. I said, what did you learn? He said, number one, those guys were compassionate. They cared about this guy. So, care about each other. Love one another as I have loved you. But, care about yourself. What does the Bible say? Love your neighbor as what? Love yourself. This year, to be healthier, start loving yourself. What do you? You're in the airplane and you're going through the Brother Craig, the pilot here today. What are they? How many hundreds of millions of times have you heard over the loudspeaker? Put the oxygen mask on who first? Yourself. Because if you pass out, you're not putting it on anybody else. Put the oxygen mask on yourself. Love yourself. Do what you need to do to take care of yourself. So these guys were compassionate, but they were taking care of this guy. And they had faith. They believed that there was a solution. I can't tell you how many people I have met who do not have any faith. I will never change. They're constantly bombarding themselves. I can't change. I won't change. It'll never change. I've tried too long, too many years. It's impossible. It can't happen. I've prayed too many prayers. Nothing's going to change. They're so dismal that they make Seattle weather look like Hawaii. Have faith. These stretcher bearers had faith. And they said, Jesus can do something about it. And if I put forth the effort to take this guy to Jesus, something can happen. Have some faith. So they had faith. And what else did they have? They had creativity. They get there and the place is completely blocked up. There's no way in. They said, we'll find a way. They get up on the roof and they somehow loosen the roof enough to let, you know, in Peter's house, let him down there in front of Jesus. They didn't stop at the first obstacle. There's so many people that actually, they're just going through the motions. They don't really want to love themselves. They don't really want to get better. They are so completely defeatist in their attitude that the first obstacle they find, they go, see, I can't do it. Off they go. Wow. 2020 will never be better than 2019 if you have that kind of attitude. At the first obstacle, I'm going to quit. What? No, have faith in God. Put forth the effort. Be creative. If that way doesn't work, then try another way. Try something else. Don't stop. And the last thing they had then, of course, was persistence. But they let this guy down, and what happened? Jesus understood the balance between the mental, the physical, and the spiritual. The first thing he said to the paralytic was, son, be of good cheer. He calls him a son. See, that's like beloved. Son, be of good cheer. Your what? Sins are what? Forgiven. He had first addressed the spiritual. And Desire of Ages says, as soon as the paralytic heard those words, he just, his whole body relaxed. To know that you're right with God. He was happy just at that one thing. But then Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And as soon as he believed it, it became so. As soon as he believed it, it became so. Whatever is impossible with man is possible with God as soon as you believe God's word. He said it's so. And he took his bed and he walked. And the Bible says the people were amazed. They were completely, utterly amazed. So this businessman had a friend who had become a Christian. And this businessman was doing everything right to make his business grow. So the story goes. He had invested right. He had talked to the right people. He was doing things right. But this guy was a godless man. He was such a pain. Everybody who knew him said, this guy is a ruthless guy. He wasn't well liked by the people in his business. And his business wasn't doing that well. He was kind of hanging in there. But any day could have been the last day for that business, you know. And this business was his life, and he just really wanted to see this business succeed, but it wasn't going very well. His friend kept witnessing to him and kept saying to him, you need to let Jesus into your life. Because Jesus will change you on the inside. And then everything will change on the outside. Because something is happening to you. His friend just kept telling him about how great it was to have peace. To know that you're loved. To know that you have a secure future. And to know that no matter what happens, the Lord will be with you. He just kept sharing this with this guy. Well, his wife got ill about this time, and she needed a lot of expensive care. And he's going, great, my business is really on the rocks, and my wife needs all this care. Where am I going to get all this money? How am I going to handle this? And pressure was strong, and his kids were going to college now, and he's trying to help them. You know, it's like he felt like the whole world was caving in on him. So then he went to his friend and was confiding in his friend about this. And he said, listen, he said, you know who Billy Graham is. Yeah, he said, everybody knows who Billy Graham is. He says, I want you to come with me tonight to the meeting. He said, I'm going to go tonight. I want you to come with me tonight to the meeting. I think there's a meeting tonight, isn't there, Jordan? 6:30, didn't I hear you say? Yeah. It's not too late to repent. You can come tonight. It was great last night. I went home. I told Dolly, forgive me, I hope this doesn't sound condescending. I said to Dolly on the way home, I said, I am so proud of him. Aren't you? He did a great job. I was very impressed. And it's not canned. He's not just saying something that somebody else has said. This is his stuff. And it's my wife, Dolly said, she said, he's like a polished evangelist. So you should come to the meeting, 6:30 tonight. Besides that, Gillette's going to feed you. So that's, you know, that's, you got to come just for that, right? So he goes to the meeting with his friend. He kind of doesn't want to, but he goes to the meeting with his friend. And while he's there in the meeting with his friend, the Lord begins to work. And suddenly, his testimony later was, it was like he could clearly see for the first time how all these decisions and how his attitude and how he had lived his life up to that point had brought him to this place of crisis in his life. And he said, there is no human solution. I need God. And he was one of those, on that night, he was one of those hundreds of people who got up and went with his friend down to the altar, and he gave his life to Jesus. And what his friend said was true. When Jesus came into his life, the stress, the anger, the bitterness left. He had now peace, and he had now joy, and he began to interact with his employees differently. He began to deal with his competitors differently. He began to deal with his suppliers differently. He began to deal with his CPA differently. Everything changed outside because he was changed on the inside. His business began to turn around. He didn't become some multi-billionaire person, but his business turned around and he began to have the money that he needed to take care of his family, to take care of his wife. He began to return his tithes and offerings to God, and God blessed him. And his testimony is, give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. He will come in and he will make you healthy and prosperous and successful. God's way is the best way. I'd like you to stand with me. And in your hymn book rack there, you have a hymn book. And I'd like you to notice hymn number 254. I love this song because of the imagery in the song. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name in mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Would you like to, let's see if I'm on key. See if you may have to change the key, all right? But let's give that a try. Yeah, that's okay. 254. Oh. All glory to the dying Lamb. I now believe in Jesus. I love the blessed Savior's name. I love the name of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. His name dispels my guilt and fear, no other name but Jesus. Oh, how my soul delights to hear the precious name of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. I would like to have a special prayer for you today. And I don't know if anything we've talked about today has hit a chord with you. But if there's something you would like to bring especially to Jesus today, and you don't have to say what it is, just leave your seat and come up here as we sing this last stanza, and we'll have special prayer for all of you that want to bring something to the Lord today. And when he comes to bring the crown of life and glory, then by his side we will sit down and tell redemption's story. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name in mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. You don't have to kneel, but I'm going to kneel as I pray. Dear precious Jesus, thank you for working in my life. I just don't know what I would have done or what would have become of me if it weren't for you. I was on such a wrong path, such a destructive path, but you rescued me. I'm sorry I was so stubborn. But you didn't give up. Thank you, Lord, for reaching down and considering this poor person and that you gave your life for me. And ever since that day when you have come in and given me the peace and the joy and took away from me the anger and the rebellion, I have so much wanted other people to know you too. I fear that sometimes I have not been as good a witness as I could have been or should have been. But please hear my prayer and bless these people who have come to you today, especially those who have brought a special need to you today. You know what they all are, and I know that you care far beyond my ability to express. I know how much you care for them. I have seen it. I have felt it. I know how much you love them. I pray that they will choose this year to believe in you, to believe in your love for them, to believe that you died for them. I pray that they will accept your word as the guide for their life and that they will seek to be healthy in mind and body and spirit. I know that they are met with many obstacles. Satan is constantly harassing them, tempting them, trying to discourage them. But Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. I pray that you will remove Satan's hindrances in their life and that you will show them how to simplify their lives, to refresh and make more healthy their life, and that they will trust you more and that they will trust the world less. Please give them your healing in body. If there's someone here today, Lord, who is sick, I wish with all my heart that you would take this moment to heal that person. A few times I have seen you heal people right on the spot. And Lord, if you were to heal somebody right here today, we would all give you the glory. And we would thank you. Someone here today, Lord, may have a broken heart for some reason. Maybe they're one of those people that doesn't feel loved very often. And I pray that you will cause them to feel your love. And that if any one of us can appropriately show love to them, that we would be able to do that in your name, so that they would know that they are not alone, and that they are valued, and that they are loved. We're limited in what we can do, but you are not limited. Please give them what they need to know how important and loved they are. Someone today, Lord, may be facing an obstacle of mental health, depression, some sort of oppression. Please, Lord, lift the clouds, take away the mental illness, whatever it may be, and cause them to be healthy. Lead them to natural, healthy solutions or other types of processes that will alleviate whatever it is that is oppressing them, so that they can be functional in every sense of that word and be able to give you more hearty praise and a more lighthearted and joyful life. I know that it is your will. It is always your plan A to heal. And Lord, if it be your will to do so, and as long as it doesn't affect their eternal life, I pray that you will heal them for your name's honor and glory. Please, Lord, if there is someone here today who needs Jesus, who needs to know that they are forgiven, who needs to know that their name is in the book of life, then I pray that this moment they will lift up their heart in prayer, silent prayer to you, and that they will accept you as their Savior, that they will utter the words, "I choose Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord," that they will choose to give their life to you and let you come in and begin to work in them to will and to do of your wonderful good pleasure. Thank you for being here with us today, for the music we had, for the prayers that we had, for the study of your word that we've had. And now be with us as we go to our dinner. Bless our food, that it may give us strength and health and life, and that we may serve you for many years to come. We all pray in the precious name of Jesus, and we all say, Amen.